You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When you do your own thing, very often you are sinning against God.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and merciful God, thy love and forgiveness is eternal. By thy Spirit, draw all people unto thee. May those who are carrying burdens of guilt from past mistakes and sins recognize thy free mercy. Heal their consciences, console their hearts, and strengthen their faith. We make these requests in the name of thy Son, Jesus, who was raised victoriously from the dead. Amen. After 6 visits to a psychiatrist, a disillusioned patient finally gave up and said to the doctor, "Why don't you lie down on the couch and I will sit on the chair?" This humorous but tragic example was used by a major magazine to reveal psychiatry's frequent unsuccessful attempts to assist people in coping with life. According to an article in U.S. News and World Report, the practice of psychiatry is now suffering from agonies of criticism, confusion, and doubt about its future. There is a widespread feeling, rightly or wrongly, that the anxieties of our modern society have been increased by psychiatric advice. The author of the Critical Magazine article goes on to point out that this advice often encourages people to do their own thing, even if it breaks up families and causes other disruptions. Doing one's own thing has become extremely popular during the past decade, and certain members of the psychiatric profession are not the only ones giving this damaging advice. Some high school teachers, some college professors, and even clergymen are guilty of encouraging people to adopt irresponsible lifestyles which are destined to reap only misery and destruction. All who give counsel and advice, and especially clergymen, must always remember the warning words of Jesus when he said, "And I say unto you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it on the day of judgment." The tragic results of the selfish do-your-own-thing and ego-centered lifestyle are everywhere, but they are especially obvious and most painful in the family. Just one example, the Wall Street Journal announced that after leveling off several years ago, the divorce rate is again on the rise. It is impossible for any marriage to succeed where the husband and the wife each want to do their own thing. A happy marriage can exist only where each spouse loves the other and possesses unselfish concern for the children. Incredible as it may sound, today, as a result of divorce and broken homes, 50%, one half of all babies born, will grow up in a single-parent home at some time before they are 18 years of age. No one can avoid foreseeing the grief, the tears, and the sadness that these statistical seeds of destruction will ultimately cause. Dredging up statistics in themselves is of little value in combating the tragic results of the do-your-own-thing lifestyle. To begin with, no matter whether one is a Christian or an unchristian, one must recognize that doing your own thing is not the panacea, the answer to life's needs, anxieties, and frustrations. In the past, some felt that it would be. But now, many of these same individuals are reaping the whirlwind of feelings of guilt and regret. They regret having permitted themselves to become involved in questionable activities and unholy lifestyles which are not God-pleasing. Others regret their lack of patience in the family, their quick tongues toward family members and friends. They feel like the psalmist who said, I am full of anxiety because of my sin. They realize the pain and heartache that their selfishness has brought to the lives of others. As a result, many would like to live life over again. But life can never be relived. Painful as it may sound to you today, what has been done is done. But in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your sins, your mistakes, and your failures, there is good news for you. God does not want you to live with the constant feelings of guilt. For this very reason, He proclaims with divine authority in His living Word, the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sins. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to wash all your sins and guilt away. Your mistakes of the past have been paid for on the cross of Calvary. And now, don't let the devil mire you in misery by forcing you to daily dwell on your mistakes of your past life. The blood of Jesus Christ shed when He died at Calvary was the payment for your sins of selfishness and has the supernatural power to wash away all your guilt. By standards of the society in which we live, this may not seem logical or reasonable, but God is different. He establishes a loving and forgiving relationship with all who turn to Him for help. No one, not even the devil, can destroy the relationship God lovingly establishes with all those who trust in His mercy, His grace, and His unchanging forgiveness. Jesus said, "My Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand." Having this relationship of grace and mercy, even Christians who stumble and who occasionally fall back into previous sins are forgiven. All believers in Christ can live with the unshakable assurance that the blood of Jesus cleanses them each day in their lives. The psalmist declares, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us." We are not cleansed only once, but each day our hearts and our consciences are relieved by the knowledge that Jesus' death, His sacrifice on the cross, was accepted by God the Father as payment, as a full and total sacrifice for your sins and mine. With this knowledge revealed in the Scriptures, instead of living with guilt and regret, God in His Word is encouraging you to draw near with confidence to His throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. The Holy Scriptures proclaim that Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. As you struggle against the evil nature within you, be encouraged to know that if you do fail, Jesus intercedes and pleads each day on your behalf before the Father's throne of grace. Even Christians are not perfect. St. Paul, the world's greatest missionary, confessed, "I know that nothing good dwells in me." He continued by saying, "The good I would like to do, I do not do, and I practice the very evil I do not want to do." Does this sound like something you might say? Can you identify with St. Paul in his struggle? Are you sometimes tempted by the sins of gossip, lust, cheating, manipulating people, bad thoughts, and stealing? As St. Paul contemplated his situation, the same situation that you and I live with each day, he finally confessed, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" Then with a Bible-based knowledge of the final victory, St. Paul victoriously proclaimed, "Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore," St. Paul said, "now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Yes, even after believing in the Lord, you and I may stumble, but God has established a relationship with us, a bond of love, mercy, and forgiveness. You know as well as I do that it is not necessary for me to outline the many challenges that we are now facing in our society. The pressure to adopt a lifestyle responsible to neither God nor fellow men is very strong. A major newspaper quoted a well-known actress who said, "As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, anything goes." Television talk shows constantly feature, in a positive way, individuals whose lives indicate little or no respect for biblical morals or traditional values. During an interview, a young actor who is being spoken of by some as the star of the hour said, "I am free as a bird. Marriage doesn't seem to be a modern concept." Referring to his loose lifestyle, the young man said, "I have a number of lady friends, but they are not thinking of getting married." Adults may survive with this type of attitude and immoral lifestyle, but there is a growing evidence that the next generation, our children, will not. Robert Coles, in his Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Children in Crisis, states, "Sensitive children see the behavior of their parents and turn away. They drug themselves or knock themselves out with liquor or run away. They are running away from the neglect and abuse by parents who are so caught up in themselves that they don't offer their children the moral and spiritual vision to hold on to or to try to live up to." Yes, like destructive drugs, the do-your-own-thing lifestyle is temptingly deceptive. Doing one's own thing is frequently appealing, and in most cases, it even feels good at first. But in the end, there is always tears, regret, guilt, and destruction. If you as a child or adult have been living selfishly, with only your concerns in mind, with a repentant heart, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to give you the strength to break the devil's grip of selfishness in your life. God promises that he who comes to him will in no wise be cast out. Then begin to live each day with a determination to help others. Be more patient. Express more tolerance for the shortcomings of your spouse, your family members, and others. If you feel guilty about your past selfish life, don't run to some specialist for an attitude adjustment or to learn a new way to block out your feelings of guilt. This approach may seem helpful at first, but in the end, it is totally useless. Certain psychological approaches teach that feelings of guilt are caused by defects or shortcomings in one's own personality. This is untrue. Guilt results from living a life contrary to what God expects of us. Guilt results when we live a life with little or no regard for our family, our friends, or our neighbors. Oh, now we must ask, how can this terrible guilt ever be removed? The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 9 that without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. Yes, some way the consequences, the terrible consequences of your sin and mine have to be paid for. God said very clearly, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Somebody's life has to be given up to pay the price. Someone's blood has to be shed. And that is precisely the joy of the central message of the Holy Scriptures. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. In the Bible, Titus chapter 2, we read that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Ephesians chapter 1 proclaims, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Yes, remember, the devil will always attempt to harass you with memories of your past mistakes. But don't listen to the master deceiver. Listen, rather, to the Lord as he speaks to you through the prophet Isaiah when he says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. And the Lord says, I will not remember your sins. Yes, in life, guilt can spring up and choke us like weeds in a beautiful lawn. Frequently, middle-aged sons and daughters, after the funeral of their father or mother, are suddenly overcome by the realization of how coldly and lovelessly they treated their parents. One listener recently wrote, I did a lot for my mother, but I feel that I could have done more. She then continued to explain how guilty she now feels. In much the same way, numerous parents are tortured with the constant feelings of regret. As their children rebel against traditional values, drop out of church, and have problems in school, they are convinced that they have failed. Even the children themselves, many of them teenagers, are constantly plagued and sometimes even mercilessly strangled by feelings of regret and guilt. Every day, they feel the pressures from friends, sometimes teachers, and even television, encouraging them to do things or to embrace values they realize in their consciences are wrong. In the midst of their rebellion, many young people know that the Bible states, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. With these conflicting pressures, is there any reason why a teenager's life today would not be filled with confusion, regret, and frustration? Certainly, we all fail at some time in our life. But that is why we can take refuge in God's changeless mercy. He is our ever-present strength, our help in time of trouble. No matter how down you may feel, no matter how guilty you may feel or full of despair, know one thing for sure. Your merciful Heavenly Father loves you with a changeless love. His love never quits. God is always reliable, even when you and I are not. And so don't reject his help by your doubts or indifference. Begin today to live with a certain knowledge of final victory over your problems and temptations. Remember all the time Jesus' powerful words as he says to you, I will always be with you, even to the end of the world. Amen.